And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket.
Dave, I know that you're up on a little controversy. Governor Shapiro criticized Philadelphia D.A. Krasner, who called Trump a fascist, and Shapiro said it's not helpful to call Trump a fascist. So I'm wondering why. Why isn't it helpful to call Trump a fascist? What do you think? I mean, maybe you think Shapiro's right, maybe you think he's wrong, but
this is the great I don't know if you say dilemma or split in the Democratic Party of the two wings. You have the progressive wing or the ultra progressive wing, the far left, that's represented in Philadelphia by the likes of Krasner. And then you have the more moderate wing, which Shapiro's try to stake as, I guess, moderate is not a wing, it's the center. Shapiro's trying to stake his position there. And it's back and forth. And I think the reality is it depends where you are. In Philadelphia, if you're an office holder, you're not harmed by using that kind of language. If you're running statewide, you are. You have the whole idea, if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's a duck. Certainly, we've talked about for a long enough time, so many aspects of the Trump and Trump world that are fascistic, almost from the get-go. It's just that the Republicans tend to be able to turn that around and portray on a larger scale the people who use that term as being extremists, and then they tar them with other far left craziness, so to speak. So it depends.
Well, isn't it, in my view, if politicians don't educate the public, then they're not doing their job. Or either that, or they're total opportunists. They don't stand for anything. The plain fact is that everything that Project 2025 stands for and proposes, and that Trump has enacted and continues to push to enact, and everything that Miller says and does, even down to the iconography of their websites, the Labor Department, the Homeland Security Department, is right out of
the fascist playbook.
It's the fascist playbook. That's exactly right. Now, some of the fascist playbook they took from a good old American right-wing racial politics. The eugenics movement makes its appearance in Nazi policy, and Hitler praised the American eugenics movement. But the point is that it was systematized as fascist ideology and fascist practice. That's what it is. And if people think that somehow that's a policy that's going to be carried out with results different than fascist results, they're nuts. They're nuts. Now, there's many varieties of fascism. You don't have to have genocide. Fascism in Germany included genocide. Fascism in Hungary didn't. Fascism in Spain didn't include genocide. It just included torture and mass murder. Fascism in Chile, again, mass murder, but not genocide. But other than that particular difference, the ideology of brutality, the subordination of women, the construction of racial groupings, that some are inferior and others are superior, some have to be gotten rid of, the and you know the valorization
Well, the merger of the state with the private sector.
yes, exactly. The direction of the everything is done in the interest of big business, but is directed by the government. The outlawing of unions, the outlawing of any kind of independent political activity.
The attacks on the press.
Wipe out the press, right? In which fascist country is there a press? Except the government press.
Well, you know, in some of those places, they just co-opted the press.
Yeah, but then it becomes their press. It becomes their press.
Press, you know, or their acolytes, you know, wind up buying out the press.
Yep.
You know, we've seen some of that here with Jeff Bezos buying the Washington Post, and he, you know, this week he, you know, gutted it out.
Well, even before that, the last election, the editorial board voted to endorse Kamala Harris. He said no, and then they, instead of endorsing Trump, they endorsed nobody.
Right. And then they, well, with Musk and Twitter or X on that, and then Larry Ellison with Paramount.
Exactly.
Although
CBS.
The situation with CNN is kind of up in the air right now, pending that merger, whether Netflix or Paramount is going to get, you know, that part of the company.
But CBS is not up in the air. CBS is firmly in the hands of Trumpists.
Yes, what they've been doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, with Barry Weiss there. So we've had all of those situations. And, you know, it's going to be a question of, they're going to be, you know, they're going to, is that going to continue? There are some signs, you know, the New York Times is still fighting. And it's interesting, the editorial, well, not just the editorial page, but the news page at the Wall Street Journal have been exposing a lot of things that about the Trump administration. Even though they're owned by the Murdochs. The New York Post is a different story. But, you know, there's some things. And this week, you know, it wasn't just the press. They tried to co-opt the law firms and the universities. And there were a couple of other things in those areas. Paul... what is it? Paul Weiss, the large
the head of
law
Paul
firm.
Weiss, that's what he quit, right?
Yeah, he had to give up his role as the head of the not because of what he did to acquiesce to Trump's demands, but because he had contacts with the in the Epstein files. But it's still there. I mean, that's reverberating as well. And the universities, you know, Harvard said they weren't going to pay $200 million. And then they leaked it, that they'd come to an agreement not to have to pay. So Trump is asking for $1 billion from them. But they're slowly kind of finding out that if you fight it, there's not much Trump, you know, he's more threat than carry through on a lot of things. And, you know, if you can be more, if they could stick together, it would be better yet. It would be better yet.
Well, but it's always the nature of these elite institutions in every one of the countries that has turned fascist, that each one seems to feel that it can make a deal. They can, you know, this one can make a deal. They'll survive. That can make a deal. They'll survive. And then none of them survive.
Yeah, and it's once they make a deal, that's not the end of it. You know, it's like the extortionist. You give me the money once, and then I want more the next time.
That's right. That's exactly, and they get it.
There's no guarantees. There's no guarantees that you're one and done. It's constant.
Now, were you struck by I don't know what to call it, the banality of Trump saying that he will not authorize the release of the money for the tunnel between Jersey and New York on the harbor, which is required by the American economy, unless they agree to name Grand Central
Penn Station.
Penn Station, Trump Station, and Dulles Airport, which is in Washington. Trump Airport, I guess.
Something on that.
But
That's
and he cut the funds, and they shut down work on Friday.
yeah.
But then on Friday night, a federal judge said he can't do it. He's got to
Yeah.
release the funds.
There's some people that would think that would say anything to get the name of John Foster Dulles off the airport would be a good thing.
Yeah,
But
but replacing it with Donald Trump is not a good thing.
no. And it's this outsized megalomania that everything has to be about him. We saw that with the Kennedy Center. And of course, what happened is that the place became untenable for to have shows because the performers are all backing out and people aren't buying tickets. So rather than show that the reaction was winning, they decided to close it up for 2 years under the guise of making major renovations.
But didn't you tell me it had just been renovated?
Yeah, not too many years ago they'd gone through a renovation, but it might not be to the liking of Trump. Maybe not enough gold leaf or something.
But he's not talking about a renovation. He's talking about gutting the building and leaving only the frame. That's not renovation, that's rebuilding.
Well, what's going to happen is if he does that, he's just going to leave it.
Of
He
course.
won't even, he won't even finish the job. And he won't pay the contractors either.
Well, why should he?
Yeah, why should he? Why should he? But,
When does he? When does he?
getting back to the thing with the fascists, the biggest thing that he did this week, what he's been hinting at it all along, is he's come out to nationalize the elections.
Now
And he
explain
wants,
what that's all about.
well, under the Constitution, the elections are run by the states. But he wants to have it run under the government or the federal government. And there's a couple of components to that they would then be in charge of the ballots,
The
the
feds.
feds, and the counting would be the feds. He can point to a lot of the foreign elections where we know who won within a day or so of the election. Here in America, so they're still counting votes sometimes weeks after, particularly in California. But it's because of all the different state rules that we have, and all of the ballots are complex. They're not just do you vote for Trump or Harris or Trump or Biden. There's a lot more to them. The other thing he's threatening to do is to send ICE to the polling places. Now, here in Pennsylvania, there's a law that police cannot enter a polling place. That they can only go in if there's an emergency or crime being committed. There's a fight or something like that, and they can go in to cast their own ballot, but they can't be inside because they want to avoid the intimidation. But they want to have them standing outside, trying to intimidate, I guess, people of color. On this, of course, now that we have the mail-in ballots, people can get around that. But still, it's an intimidation tactic.
Right? Don't they want to get rid of the mail-in ballots as well?
Yes. And of course, he said he wants to have all the ballots counted on the same day. Now, you imagine if the polls close 8 or 9 o'clock at night in a state where there's millions of ballots, how are you going to get them all done in 3 hours? I mean, there's certain things that can expedite the count. Pennsylvania has a problem because they didn't authorize the counting of all the mail-in ballots, apart from the election day ballots. Mm-hmm. But in some places they are, and don't forget, in a couple states like Utah and Oregon, they're only mail-in ballots.
Mm-hmm.
So all you have to do is put them through the machines,
right?
That day, and I guess they're hooked up. But this is some of the plans. They always have these ideas that are going to intimidate people from voting. But remember, William Rehnquist used to stand outside polling places in Arizona trying to intimidate people.
Yes.
And of course, he got rewarded by...
And you, as part of this attempt, the FBI has called a conference of election officials from throughout the country to make plans for Election Day. The FBI.
Yeah. Good old Cash Patel.
I don't know if these guys planning to go. I mean, do you think the election officials will go?
I think it's going to vary from state to state. I don't think in Pennsylvania they're going to go, but certainly the red states are going to. But of course, the targeting that they're going to have is only towards the blue states.
Yes, of course.
The 15 states, in particular.
Meanwhile, turning to the state, talking about states. Didn't Shapiro release a budget?
Yes.
I imagine Republicans hated what they heard.
Well, yeah, they declare it dead on arrival before it even arrives.
Right.
This is the tradition. I mean, it's what happens is the budget's presented in February. Now, remember, the last budget just got approved in what, November?
Yeah.
So you're. So in February, he puts out his priorities. The opposition party shuts it down, and then they come back starting in March, and they start parsing it out to the appropriate committees, and then come June they get serious about it, or maybe they don't get serious about it because it's due June 30th. That's the thing. Now, in this budget, there's a couple of items. Once again, they're going to try to increase the minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
Shapiro's asking for $15, which would more than double it. Pennsylvania's got the lowest minimum wage in the whole area.
Right.
Mid-Atlantic area. And then he has something to say about these data centers. He wants them to pay for their own electricity instead of spreading it around. Which is a good idea. And they have to make certain provisions to preserve the water situation as well.
When you say they have to pay for their own electricity, do you mean they have to build their own electrical generating plants on site? Because they have to figure that out.
They have to figure that out, whether they're going to do that on site or whether they're going to, when they tap into the plants that already exist. But there's not enough capacity in those plants.
Well, that's my point. That's what drives up the price.
Yeah. Was it Amazon or was it Meta that is behind the restart of Three Mile Island? They want the nuclear power for that. One of those corporations.
I think it's Microsoft.
You might be Microsoft.
Yeah.
Now, Elon Musk has come up with his own theory. He said we ought to put these in space. We don't have to worry about cooling. And
put them where?
In space. The data centers.
Space.
And then you get solar power to run them constantly.
Right.
Of course, you also get things things
none of
like
the technology
solar flares.
Has been built.
Right. You
none
also
of
get
that
solar
right.
flares, and you get, crashes of meteorites and things like that. But don't.
The Chinese have been putting a bunch of these data centers in the ocean.
Yeah, that was
that cools them.
Yeah, that's another alternative.
Nobody in this country seems to think anything about that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Country's bordered by lots of water, plenty of room.
Yeah, there is a lot of water on that.
Well, what is? It seems to me the Governor Shapiro is more or less committed to data centers. He sees that as a big plus, right?
Well, yeah. One of the reasons they want Pennsylvania is because of the gas for electricity and power. Although, you keep hearing these talks about by the time they get all these data centers built and up, the technology is going to be obsolete. Now, I don't know on that, but it wouldn't surprise me if it is. And then it's going to be like everything else in the extraction industry, where they just abandon it and leave the remnants for the locals to deal with.
Exactly. Exactly. Do you know of any movements afoot, civilian movements, to propose legislation regulating the construction of data centers?
There's some talk in Harrisburg, but it's mostly county by county and municipality by municipality. When the building codes were made and the zoning codes were made, no one had any idea what a data center was or what it would entail.
Right.
In some ways they're big warehouses, so to speak, but instead of being passive storage, they're actively sucking out power on things.
Yeah, sucking out power, sucking in water, releasing air pollution, and potentially poisoning the water.
The details.
Right.
About that.
All of which is covered by the Pennsylvania Constitution and is made, which declares all of that kind of stuff illegal.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the points in the Constitution about the preservation of natural resources. On the other hand, we have our own EPA that doesn't do a very good job of enforcing that.
DEP, it's called. Don't
DEP,
Don't expect protection.
Yeah, that's that sort of stuff. By the way, Pennsylvania, though, did get a big boost this week when Eli Lilly agreed to build a major plant in the Lehigh Valley. Now, that doesn't help us very much up here in northeastern Pennsylvania, and we never seem to be in the running for that sort of stuff. But it's still a good thing for the Commonwealth to have good-paying jobs and an industry that's not going to be fly by night, so to speak.
What are they going to make?
I don't know which kind of drugs they're going to make, but they obviously think they need more capacity for probably things that are, related to genetics, next generation stuff. It's going to take several years to build it, and there'll be the usual fights about building permits and what have you, but credit to the Commonwealth for being aggressive in getting that. We've missed out on so much manufacturing that it goes down south or to Ohio or something. Pennsylvania needs to retain jobs and to draw younger people in for jobs if we want to maintain our standing. It's going to be tough enough come the next census. We're going to probably lose one or two seats again because we're not growing that fast. But maybe this this kind of thing can help.
Yeah. Well, along these lines, what's happening with Bresnahan and his campaign?
He's still taking flack. Paige Cognetti got the endorsement of Josh Shapiro. There's, you know, no real surprise there.
Really has no opposition.
No, she really doesn't. This wave that seems to be building for the Democrats looks like it could be pretty strong in Pennsylvania, and they could take four seats. Bresnahan's is the number one target. The seat in Lehigh Valley. But Lehigh Valley, the Democrats have a wild primary. They have three or four candidates running.
That's a mistake. That's not good.
Yeah. No, but it in some ways it can help if the right person wins the primary, because then they become a better candidate on that, although it takes up their money. But they get publicity, they get name recognition out of it. And then you have our least favorite congressman, Scott Perry. He's running very scared. Remember, he was trying to get himself a pardon last time? Before Trump went out. And they say, and Brian Fitzpatrick. Now, Fitzpatrick was one of those congressmen that came out and, took on Trump on this video that he posted on the Obamas. He's also pretty endangered there in Bucks County outside of Philly. He's withstood every challenge because the name recognition is very high there. His brother had the position before him. But this could be the year. They have apparently the Democrats have a very competent candidate. And can you imagine four seats flipping in Pennsylvania? We didn't
well, how
need
about, how about the Senate?
The Senate could be in play. The Republicans right now, they think that they're going to lose, a couple seats for sure. But North Carolina being primary among them, but they think Iowa could be at play. Alaska is going to be very close in play. Ohio, possibly. Sherrod Brown is running again. Ohio is, they also have a gubernatorial race there, and Ram Swamy is running there. And then we have to see what happens in Texas, whether Paxton wins the primary over Cornyn,
right,
and which of the Democrats comes out on that.
Right.
So there are things, and then you have the Susan Collins up in Maine, but the Democrats have a hard primary there.
Right.
And by the way, the Mickey Sherrill seat, right now nobody knows who won the Democratic primary. A very progressive candidate.
Very confusing primary.
Yeah. Very progressive candidate is leading by 500 votes over former Congressman Tom Malinowski.
Right.
And Malinowski was attacked by AIPAC in ads, but they certainly didn't want the progressive, but that's what they're going to get as the alternative. They had their own candidate, but that one fell short. So,
all right. Well, let's see what happens in this coming week.
Yep. Valentine's Day and Lincoln's birthday.
And Lincoln's birthday,
right. Which used to be a holiday.
I love Lincoln. Okay. See you next week.
We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.